Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. On tonight's Sunday cinema show, my creative is writer and director, Stacey Gregg. You know Stacey from such films as The Innocents, Mercy, and Here Before. Here Before is an award-winning psychological thriller starring Andrea Riseborough, Jonja O'Neill, Niamh Dornan, Eileen O'Higgins, Martin McCann, and Lewis McCaskey. It is available in theaters and on demand now. This episode is brought to you by Newsly. Newsly is the hot new news app that brings together all the hot and trending topics of the day, puts them all in one spot for you to listen to. That's right, listen to. No more scrolling, no more searching, no more aggravation because you need to purchase a subscription before you can read anymore. Now you just tap Newsly and you listen. It's that simple. Head over to newsly.me, use my promo code CCC2022 for 1 month of free premium subscription. But guess what? You can also listen for free. That's how cool Newsly is. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host, Pup, and enjoy the show. Miss Stacey, hello. Hello, hello.
Hi.
You have just been a busy, busy bee this past week and a half, huh?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy, yeah. But I like it that way.
Right. I mean, you're out there promoting your baby. You're out there promoting this amazing film that we're going to get into really quick because we don't have a lot of time. It is called Here Before, and it is a woman who, spoiler alert, becomes kind of overly involved and affectionate about this this girl for reasons that are explored in the film. And as a parent, I think a lot of people can understand her reasoning. They can understand that descent into madness. Mm-hmm. So where did this come from? Is there a deep-rooted reasoning for it, or was it an idea that occurred to you and you were just like, oh, this is amazing, let's talk about it?
I think a collision of both. So I think that the original hook, if you like, around Megan the kid probably came from who I was as a kid. So you know, I had a big imagination, I was a bit precocious, I got into trouble, I was interested in the paranormal. So I think I'd always had this idea for the beginning of a story about a kid who moved somewhere where she couldn't possibly know things, but then those more deep-rooted concerns that the film is interested in around loss and love and pain play out in a way that I think speaks to my adult self, and also as a parent. You know, I think there's more of a gravity to those things, where especially dealing with the genre elements, I really wanted the film to be true to those experiences and to these characters.
Right. And the tone of the film, aside from the subject matter, I'm not technically savvy when it comes to film production, but the look of it is also quite dreary.
You say dreary. I mean, I think it's
beautiful. That's normal.
That's Northern Ireland. I mean, I think you're right, though. It's very moody, and there's a heaviness, and it's winter.
Right.
And they live, you know, they live in this sort of rural urban area where the families are quite pushed up against each other. Again, quite how I grew up, but at the foot of these hills, you know, and this landscape, this countryside. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that speaks again to the sort of the metaphysical feeling of the film and the feeling of possibility.
Right.
So I think you're right. There's an oppressiveness maybe about the landscape.
You're right. You used the exact right word, a heaviness. Absolutely. But I mean, the paranormal is not known to be sunshine and rainbows at all. True. Anyways. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it was, though? Hello, I'm here to haunt you. That would be fantastic. But yeah, I mean, everything just contributed to the feeling and the tone and the atmosphere that was created just with the acting, with the setting, right? Mm-hmm. And filming it in winter or setting it in winter, it just added this, I don't know, this like blanket of like, ooh, to the whole story, which was great. I love ooh. But yeah, so well done.
I think that, thank you. I think the feeling of the uncanny as well was very important to the film. So, you know, in many ways, what you're shown is like, you know, families taking their kids to school and putting the bins out, you know, but there's something that runs underneath that that just feels unfamiliar and, right. and strange. And so making sure that that was a constant sort of rumbling feeling through the film was also important.
Right. And I hate to use the word because I think it's overused, but the juxtaposition of the normalcy of, like you said, putting the bins out and then this you know, other unsettling feeling that's going on. It just gives this amazing impact. And it's just something that I really love to see. It's kind of like, not to compare films, but my son and I were watching the live action version of Wrinkle in Time. If you remember the story, it was very creepy. The children bouncing the ball in unison, something that looks so normal, but it's just so freaking creepy that you can't even.
Yeah, absolutely. I really wanted this to feel like it could happen to anyone in any family on any street.
Right. And like we said, as parents, absolutely understand. I mean, you know, when do you stop checking your child in the middle of the night, you know, because like, are they 40? Because I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
And I think, again, like in terms of where the film goes, it was always really important to me that these weren't just like, you know, caricatures, you know, these are yes. all fully fleshed people who we recognize, who I in the film have compassion for, even when they're making terrible decisions born out of pain or selfishness or whatever it might be.
Right.
That sort of truthfulness felt really important.
Well, it's quite easy to point at a character in a film or, you know, in a television show and be like, oh my God, this person's out of their mind. They're so crazy. And I can't think what the word is, to, you know, disrespectfully do it, or to ridicule, that's the word I wanted, to ridicule the person for their behaviors. But it's another thing. But yeah, so it is something completely different to actually have that compassion, like you said, have an empathetic response, to understand where they're coming from. It's it's so much more, like we said, impactful. In Ireland, the supernatural is nothing, like, it's not every day. But it is part of the culture, right? It's not so easily like, oh, we don't believe in that. That's hogwash.
Absolutely. I think that's key, really. I think that the sort of the spiritual is entwined in a way with the everyday, in a way that it isn't in some other cultures. And even the difference in Ireland, the way that we deal with death, you know, compared to even, you know, Britain on the mainland, you know, we have wakes, you know, we have open coffins. It takes place over several days. And, you know, just during COVID, for example, to have been denied that was very painful, I think, for Irish people who are used to having, you know, a long and fulsome goodbye. Mm-hmm. You know, because they say, you know, as they say, that the line between life and death is much more porous, is sort of thinner here. Mm-hmm. And I certainly grew up with lots of, you know, family stories and folktales and superstitions and, you know,
right.
A bird flew in the kitchen, someone's died.
Yeah, right. You know. And we don't want to use the word superstitions, but the beliefs and the little things, and fairies, the fae, you know, magic rings, magic stones, all of this stuff. And it, to me, it's beautiful and amazing. And I know that over there specifically, you guys believe, like you said, that the veil between the worlds is thin, you know, and I always mispronounce it, but on certain times of the year, back to from the Druids or the Celts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here in America, we're just so jaded. We're just so, and it's almost not to go off on a tangent, but it's almost as if you absolutely don't believe in anything, right? You're just like, that's nonsense.
I think it's depressing, isn't it? Where do you even get into this stuff? I think, you know, America is such a relatively new country, you know, it's post-enlightenment, it's sort of built on rationalism, you know, and I guess that's just something that it runs very deep here is,
right.
you know, and I think the important thing as well is that it's not necessarily a literal conversation, you know, it's mythos and logos, it's a way of being in the world. And I think that it's, you know, it's sometimes easy in the times that we live in to be, you know, ultra scientific and ultra cynical. And actually, right. there are many ways to be in the world. And I think right. the film sort of reaches into that space to an extent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so funny. You're right. I feel like we have not had the centuries of the stories being handed down, the tales of the old gods and the old kings and queens. We don't have that. You're right. I don't think we have that sort of history, for lack of a better word.
You probably do, but it's just been sort of, fragmented or sort of overtaken by the sort of bigger narrative of America, you know?
Right.
Because of course everybody comes from somewhere, and there were people there, and you know, there are stories in every culture.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just something that's survived in a different way here.
Yeah, for sure. But on the flip side of that coin, you have people. And I'm sure it's worldwide, but specifically here in America, you have people that believe in the most absurd things. So it's like, you can't believe in spirits, or you can't believe in, you know, your loved ones coming to visit you, but you believe that aliens made the pyramids. Okay. I gotcha.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. What our sort of, what our capacity is now for.
Yeah. It's humans are strange. Humans are strange for sure. Well, I know we're gonna have to wrap up in a little bit, but the film comes out February 11th. Mm-hmm. Is it a theatrical release? Is it video on demand? Both?
Both, yeah. So theatrical first, and then on demand. Which again, like given the last couple of years, you know, it's been a really tough landscape for independent film. So I'm absolutely buzzed that we're getting this experience. You know, it was a film that was envisaged to be, you know, experienced on the big screen. So
yeah, for sure. Exciting. For sure. You cannot, well, you can, but it loses, I think, when you see it on a television screen. Unfortunately, it's science. You lose a little bit of the feeling of it unless it's on this massive screen, especially when it's a supernatural or a suspenseful movie and the music is swelling from those huge speakers. Yeah. The theatrical, it's just 1,000% better. But we are very lucky that there's so many on-demand options because, like you said, it has been hard. It has been a rocky landscape, specifically for the independents. But I see these films everywhere. Whenever I talk to you guys, it's like, oh, it's available. And you guys rattle off like 10 places. And it's just fantastic to me. It's like, thank you for so many options for these films that just need to be seen by everybody.
Yeah. I think the appetite will always be there, won't it?
So where is it going to release theatrically? Just in the UK, or are we going to be lucky and get some over here?
It's in the States next week. And then it's in the UK and Ireland from the 18th of February. So it's far and wide, really.
That's amazing. And then video on demand, I'm assuming, on all the major platforms.
Still feeling those out, but yeah, that's the hope. And then I will hopefully be working on my next feature film.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to Hannah for working with us to get this set up, because I was looking forward to talking to you because the film is just so freaking good. And again, as a parent, it touched me in a way that it might not touch everybody the same way, but to me, that added dread was just, it was great.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. I think that I feel like the film is not something that people have seen before. So
No. The film is here before. It'll be out in theaters next week, February 11th, and video on demand after that. Miss Stacey, thank you so much for your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Alrighty, and you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you very much. All right, so lovely to chat.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Stacey Gregg. You can check out her new film, Here Before, in theaters and on demand. Big thank you to Newsly for sponsoring this episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. You can find me on all social media under Pup Duffy. I am on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. While you're on the internet, head over to beunique.org. Like, follow, and support my beautiful humans over there. CCC is a Be Unique featured show. If you like the music you're hearing, head over to RaleighKeegan.com. Raleigh is an up-and-coming, hot Nashville artist. At RaleighKeegan.com, you can purchase CDs, you can download music, and keep up to date with tour dates and upcoming releases. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's backs, and I'll see you next time.
We always find a way.